Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Hello.
Recording in progress.
Yes.
You forgot about our record time.
I did. It's very disruptive to my schedule.
Your hardcore schedule?
I actually do have an incredibly hardcore schedule. That is actually true.
Yeah. What's the one you're playing now? Solid Snake or Guilty Gear? Guilty Gear, is that what you're playing now?
There is some Guilty Gear, but I mean, mostly it's like Japanese and then walking and making sure I'm exercising and doing all that shit. But yes, also Guilty Gear. New character came out and I've been playing with him. It's been rough.
What is Guilty Gear?
Oh, it's a fighting game.
Is it like based off a property of some kind?
No, it's its own thing. It's just Guilty Gear. It's an older series. It originally came out on PlayStation. And then this is the newest one. And this one is like crazy popular.
I know of like six fighting game series, and it's like, and most of them are all based in the 90s anyway. So it's like, I know like Fatal Fury, Street Fighter, Samurai Showdown, and Mortal Kombat. So yeah, there we go.
Fatal Fury is the shit. So
yeah,
for sure. Well,
okay, I take that back. There's also Tekken, the Marvel versus Capcom series, and yes. And then you got Smash Brothers. I think that's it. That's all I really know.
Yeah, I mean, those are the big ones.
Those are the big ones.
Well, I guess Guilty Gear is one of the big ones now, because like I said, this one is like shockingly successful.
Well, there you go. I'm sure our listeners are eagerly awaiting our opinions on 90s video games when there's so much flames afoot in the area of Nottingham, England right now.
Is there? I paid zero attention.
Have you been paying zero attention to everything that fucking happened this week?
Yes.
Oh my God. It's fucking crazy, man. The funny thing was like, I had like a whole list of like things we could talk about, 'cause it's going to be kind of a slow news week. And then I was like, holy shit.
And stuff exploded.
It's literally Donald Glover coming back in the room with the pizza while the entire apartment's on fire. Like, that's nice. What's going on right now.
Well, I'm excited because you can tell me about it, because I don't know what the hell's going on.
Okay, so let's start off chronologically.
Yeah.
I think we talked about that guy getting bullied out of his Games Workshop contract, right?
Yes.
So I don't remember if we talked about that or not. Okay. So this is just another thing that stems from that. So two things technically happened this week with Games Workshop.
All right,
the first big one was that they, in the vein of what happened last time with that guy getting bullied out, they updated their statement about like their media that you could do. I can't remember the name of the exact thing. You got to remember, it's really late at night. I'm kind of drunk right now. Uh-huh. We normally record early ass in the morning. It's much later in the evening now.
Yes.
But anyway, so they updated not the terms of service or whatever it is, but it basically said like, all right, if you're not allowed to make any sort of material, anything related to any of our IP, period. And what that did was that upset a lot of the youngins who are all into the YouTube videos about Games Workshop shit, right? Mm-hmm. So like all the anime, the fan animated stuff. So essentially, if you're not owned by Games Workshop or putting it out, you know, like you don't have a contract with Games Workshop, you're not allowed to make your own media. Now you could say like, oh, that's kind of bullshit. People could just do it regardless. Yeah, but if the only place you could put it up is YouTube, everyone's just gonna like, YouTube doesn't care. They're just like, what? You mentioned something that might be possibly something owned by someone else. We're gonna take your video down, no problem. So yeah, that's the main part right there. So they did that. And in response to that, one of the most popular Games Workshop, like cartoons, I guess, if you will, the Emperor had text-to-speech, put up a video saying they're going on indefinite hiatus until Games Workshop changes their policy, which is a smart move on their part, because if you're not working for Games Workshop, and they put a hit on you, you got no way of making your money right then.
Right.
Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, well, if you get, so the way DMCA's work is, so YouTube specifically, you can get your video demonetized and you can also get your channel demonetized. There's different levels. And basically like, it's like a strike system and, it's kind of like, it's unfortunately kind of abusable. And then the worst thing about that is, in addition to it being kind of abusable, like if you hit too many strikes, whether or not they're like good, like you get put legitimate. On the defensive, yeah. Right. You get put on the defensive real fast. So if you get hit by two strikes and then, like you get hit by two strikes, your channel's demonetized. Then you have to like struggle with YouTube to get your shit back on.
Yeah. It's like, it's a whole fucking thing. Yeah, so anyway, they shut down and they were like, okay, we're not doing this again until Games Workshop changes their practices. Now, this was interesting to me. So I dug a little deeper. So I did some hardcore in-depth journalism, Steve. I'm talking like Woodward and Bernstein. Like I'm going to fucking solve Watergate when it comes to this. Right.
All right. I'm ready.
So I actually dug into it. So the first time they introduced the Warhammer animations was on March 10th of this year when they were kind of talking about like all the new shit that's coming out and the contracts with that. Well, it seems that on March 11th, 2021, or might have been March 10th, but the article came out on March 11th, Games Workshop had actually hired the entertainment and was going to build out their entertainment business with a former Hasbro executive, Finn Arneson. So, Steve, can you tell me about how the fan service with Wizards of the Coast over at Hasbro has been?
I mean, they're well. Do you mean fan service in the sense of like pandering? Because very high. If you mean fan services and like. Doing things like monetarily beneficial for the fans, then very low.
Yes, exactly. I think that's what it kind of comes down to. So it looks like this guy came in and he was like, well, if you're going to have cartoons based on your own thing, you know what you make now? You know what you make nowadays? You make a streaming service. You know, that's where all the money's at. And so that's what it looks like it happened. So when they opted to go for their Warhammer Plus thing, it was probably because of this guy, this Finn Arneson. Now, when they have their own streaming service, what does that mean? We don't want anything that's not Games Workshop not streaming. We want to make a penny off everything. So basically they say, if we're not making money off of it, we don't want to have it anything to do with us. Right.
Right.
So they were like, okay, so we're going to get rid of all these videos. So this is so now, but because Emperor's Text-to-Speech, it was like, I would say probably the thing that gets most people into 40k nowadays outside of video games, these YouTube channels, because people are fucking obsessed with you with fucking YouTube lore videos. I mean, blows my fucking mind how people are so obsessed with these people, and they're just reading Wikipedia entries on fucking like Eldar Exodites, and they're like, the Eldar Exodites blue quotes were this, you know, it's like. You know, they and all the person people does is they read it, and most of the times they're just reading it in a British accent, but they're not actually doing any sort of inflection with their voice, and it's they're obnoxious to listen to, and then like this guy will have like a really deep voice. He's like the Vampire Counts of the Cathay Coast, blah blah blah, and then they'll show a video of the guy, and he looks like McLovin from Superbad, and you're like, whoa, fucking the guy has a voice for radio right there.
Nice.
So yeah. The Emperor's Text Speech getting most people into Games Workshop at this point, and it's gone. And so now you know what fans are going to do when that you're taking away, you know, the nipple at which they suckle. They're going to flip out. Correct.
Right. As is pretty usual.
So there is a big movement right now. Boycott Games Workshop because of this policy. Right.
Okay.
Now, simultaneously, at the same time, which is what simultaneously means. An ex Games Workshop writer, James Hewitt, who is I think he wrote fiction and rule sets. I don't know if he actually wrote the fiction. I know he wrote a lot of rule sets, right?
Okay.
He posted a super long Twitter thread, just lambasting Games Workshop, right? Now, the whole thing showed up because someone posted a Games Workshop was looking for a posting. It didn't say, and it says, why is there no salary on this advert? we want people to apply for a job because that's what they really want to do, not because of the size of the salary.
You linked that to me.
Yes, I did. So this, you know, it's basically Games Workshop wanking and saying that we're not going to pay you shit because you get the privilege of working for Games Workshop, right?
Right, of course.
So this guy goes through this whole long thing about how he, like, when they were throwing out the numbers, I'm like, when did this guy work for Games Workshop? And it was like 4 years ago. And I was like, holy shit, that's how much money they, like, a games designer makes at Games Workshop. And I was like, holy cow. It was like, you know, I'm not 100% sure on wages and like Nottingham, UK, like what the cost of living is. And I know that they could depress the salary a little bit because they don't have to pay for things like basic health insurance there, you know, from their paychecks. Like, it doesn't have to get taken out of their pay.
Right.
So that's like a huge thing. But it was still only like, I want to say like 35,000, right? And I'm like, that is fucking low for a guy that's making them a fuck ton of money in rules.
Well, wait, is that $35,000 or £35,000?
$35,000.
Okay.
I did like the quick math in my head. I think he said he was making like 20,000 pounds, which is I think at about 30 to 35,000, right? Depending on the exchange rate.
Right.
So I'm like, that's fucking whoa. Like, even like, but I don't, once again, I don't know like the conversion rate. So this started off this whole long thing. And then a bunch of other people came forward saying like how shitty the pay is over there and everything like that. And it kind of makes sense on why people like Duncan Rhodes, because he had that YouTube, he was working on their YouTube channel for fucking ever. And he got a huge cult following and probably wasn't getting paid shit. And then was like, fuck it. I could probably make more money just going on fucking Instagram and posting my own figures than I can at Games Workshop. And that's what he often did.
Probably also just do his own YouTube channel, too.
Well, that's what he has.
That's the thing. Like, if you're doing well on YouTube, you can just do your own YouTube channel. And like, you know, if you're sponsored and you're doing well, you can bring your fan base to, you know, your own YouTube channel. So the only thing you got to worry about is, you know, getting sued by your previous employer if you've got a contract.
Yeah, exactly. So there, now that comes out, and all this other stuff about how, you know, what Games Workshop is putting out. So there, and how Games Workshop treats their employees, and then about their policy on that. So now there are two simultaneous at the same time boycott GW things going around, each for two completely different purposes. One is for a very self-centered, like, yeah, they took away my text to speech. Where am I going to get my memes from now? And the other one is very much like, oh, we want other people to, you know, live normal lives, you know, afford a base salary for giving us something that we love. So there's those two things are going on for two very different reasons on that end. And I just love the idea of somehow this boycott Games Workshop is going to take off, because as we know, change only comes through violence. So let's not pretend that any sort of boycott's going to help. What I'm saying to people
I don't know. I find a lot of times when like there's like these boycotts for just, I mean, anything, whether or not it's like a, like, whether or not it's justified or not, like, doesn't even matter. It's just like the boycotts don't matter. Cause like the vast majority of people, it's like you have, it's multifaceted, I suppose. Like, if you want to talk about the internet, but like, let's just throw it like the classic meme of the boycott Modern Warfare 2 Steam group that had like 4,000 people or some fucking ridiculous number. And then they did the screenshot of the group of the boycott Modern Warfare 2 Steam group. And then they did the screenshot of them after Modern Warfare 2 came out, and all of them were playing Modern Warfare 2. Like, literally 100% of the people in the boycott group.
Absolutely.
So you got that, where it's just like people just don't boycott it. Like, then you got like but that's not even like, so like there's that. But I would say, like, just the vast majority of people, they just don't care. Like, they don't, like, they're not like, oh, this company sucks, I'm making an active choice to support this shitty company because I don't care. That's not what I mean. I mean, like, literally, like, perfect example. If you didn't tell me this shit, I wouldn't know about any of it. Like, literally none of it. I would just, because, you know, just whatever. So that's what I mean. I think most people are like me, where they're just like, I don't know, whatever. So like, yeah, the YouTube lore heads, I guess, are all butthurt. So like, how much money are the YouTube lore heads worth? I guess we could find out. Like,
exactly.
That's something too. They're 40K players anyway. So who cares? They're all going to 3D print their models, right? Isn't that like the bit? Is that already the battle cry of 40K?
It wasn't. So once this kind of like boiled over, let's say, the last 2 days, there's been a lot of activity about like, how do I actively boycott Games Workshop? How can I do this? Well, the number one thing is don't buy any of their fucking shit, period. If you really want to boycott Games Workshop, don't buy any of their shit. One of the things I saw online.
That's generally how a boycott works.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I saw online today was a guy saying, like, you know, if you have to buy miniatures, what? First off, let's dissect that sentence. If you have to buy miniatures, which, let's face it, you know, you don't have to buy miniatures. There's no law.
The statement have to buy miniatures is pretty wild.
I know. Like that was like where I first said, wait, let's hold the fuck on for a second.
Well, maybe that guy has had a unique experience and he has been held hostage and forced to buy miniatures.
That could very well be, Steve. That could very well be.
Like maybe someone was legit just like, you need to buy these fucking models or your family's going to get it. He's like, oh God, I guess I got to buy this box of intercessors.
If you don't buy the models, I'm going to fucking cut off your face.
Yeah. Don't buy the models.
You're going to buy the models.
I'm going to cut your throat by the intercessors.
Oh God, that hurt my throat doing that for some odd reason. So yeah, but no, that wasn't the second thing was like buy secondhand from one of these stores. And I'm like, first off, the first thing I wrote is, do you work for this store? Like that was the first thing I said, because I was like, this does not sound like a normal human being talking. This sounds like someone who's like boss said like, hey, yeah, there's this heat on Games Workshop right now.
Let's use this opportunity to sell some models.
Yeah, let's use this opportunity to promote Toll and Troll, you know, or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, I think it was actually. And the funny thing was like the guy put up the company and I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. They're like, oh, Troll Trader. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Troll Trader, they jack up the prices so fucking much. yeah. And so that's why I thought automatically it was a shill, but whatever. But yeah, he was like, buy this. And I was like, this is my thing. And you could correct me on this if like I read into this wrong. Okay.
I'm ready.
I said, well, they don't only buy aid the boycott, only buy official sculpts from eBay or sites like the one linked. Don't give GW any of your cash. And I said, well, if there's for some godforsaken reason you have to buy minis, don't buy from Games Workshop. Just buy any other of the company out there. They have thousands of companies out there right now producing pretty quality minis. And if you're building a 40K army, you know, it's like that would be the only one that you might possibly have to buy from Games Workshop. But there are other 3D companies. There are other companies out there who do 3D models. For fuck's sake, you could do a whole bolt action army and say it's your Imperial Guard and it would cost you a fraction of the price anyway. But anyway, the guy commented back. He was like, if I buy new, they get new income twice. But if I buy used, they only get my money once. And I don't understand that. Do you?
No, I mean, if it's already sold, like, so I get what he's trying to say. It's just not great logic.
I don't even get what he's trying to say because my whole point is
no. I get what he's trying to say, and what he's trying to say isn't quite accurate because it's so like for a long time, like you know the whole like GameStop thing where they are like, GameStop was the number one thing where they gave you like barely anything and they charged a lot for their trade ins, and like there's been like the whole thing of like, you know, the like video game developers have been trying to fight like the reselling of games, right? There's a whole in-depth thing you can go into about that. But like the long and short of that, and the reason it's different is that like, yeah, the game dev loses the money from that sale. The difference is the game copies are, you know, exactly the same. Like if you buy a copy of Halo 2, it's always Halo 2. Like, just because you're buying a used model doesn't necessarily mean it's in like a shape that you want, right? Like, oh, I'm buying some used Stormcast. Ah, shit, they were glued like shit. So then, like, you have to do a whole bunch of work. So it's not the same, because, like, there could be hidden work involved that you're not ready or willing to do. Like, I mean, there's always, you buy, like, I mean, it's been a long time since I've looked at buying used models. But, like, I remember when I was selling models on the side to make money, I would always buy shittily painted models on eBay or like from auctions, because they were like I would just pick like the most dog shit ones, because they would always go for super low value, because like it's like when the models are like really like paint caked and shit, because like, you know, it's a huge amount of work, because I knew the work that was going to be needed, and that's why people didn't buy it, because like the models look like ass and like you have to strip them and there's like a whole bunch of work involved with that. So like, that's the thing, when you're buying used stuff, like that kind of X factor, happens. So it's not the same as just like buying a video game. That's always the same, you know, Halo 2 is always Halo 2. And, or like my personal favorite is, someone bought, space. This was a good one. Someone bought Space Marines. He bought a used Space Marine army. And not only was the army like model, like paint caked on, but whoever had assembled it actually put the wrong arms on and just like, and just proceeded as forward. So like, he didn't see it in the pictures, but once he actually had the models in hand, he had a bunch of dudes where their left arms were right arms.
Does not surprise me.
So that was pretty great. So that's what I mean. So like, that's what he's trying to say. It doesn't make any sense, but that's his logic. It's flawed, but I'm telling you what his logic is. The problem with all of this is that GW is the GW like physically makes the products.
Yeah.
Like they make this stuff. So like, it's really not that damaging to buy used models for them, like in terms of their product, because like there's a finite amount of models and they're the ones who make the models. Like,
exactly. It's like they control complete monopoly on Games Workshop products because they are Games Workshop.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
that's I mean, that's the other thing too, like, and if you think the game is good enough, like, then buy it. Like, if that's the case, like if you think that game is good enough to play and you're like, oh, I mean, I think this game's good, like this game's so good I absolutely have to play it, like, then, you know, buy it, nerd. Like, if you want to boycott Games Workshop, don't play Games Workshop games.
That's my exact point, Steve. That's my exact thing I'm trying to say is like, you don't have to play Games Workshop games. There's thousands of other, it goes back to our discussion about D&D 5th, you know? It's like, yeah. You don't have to play Games Workshop. And you know where I lay all the blame at though, Steve, in all honesty? Lazy game store owners. You know what? Because like, oh shit, I really like this game. What's this game called over here? Oh, this is a Crisis Protocol. Oh, it's got all my favorite Marvel characters in it. Yeah, that's really cool. Hey, why don't you come over here? I'll show you how to play the game. Okay. Wow, this game was really fun to play. I won everything and I rolled all of the fours. Yeah, you did so great. So you could buy this game right now. The starter set only costs $60. $60, that's awesome. And you know what? We have a group that plays every Tuesday. Every Tuesday, that's awesome. I like every Tuesday. Awesome. Well, let's go. And guess what, Steve? That's how you fucking start a game going. And game store owners are so fucking lazy. They just rest on their laurels. And they're like, you know what? People are going to play Games Workshop games regardless. You know why?
I mean, if I owned a game store, I would definitely get the game store. I would Games Workshop because I don't want to risk the money. Like, well,
but you know, but that's what it comes down to.
Especially Steve. when you're buying sketchy miniatures games. Like there's been so many fly-by-night miniatures games. I can absolutely see not wanting to take the monetary risk.
But if you build up the hobby, then people will buy it. That's the key thing.
As someone who works on the distribution side, targeting where you have is always the smarter play. The guys who try to go hard and build stuff, those guys go out of business. And I'll give it to you real straight. The guys who really try to go wide and just go like, I'm going to try and, you know, like, do the things I like and try to get this stuff going and, you know, try to really get this moving and on my own. They go out of business. That's
I have no doubt on that, but I'm just saying that if you want to sell other things, you want to make, you know, you want to have a diversified of what you're selling or anything like that. You want to make a name for yourself in, let's say, a crowded gaming market.
The key is to be, it's so what you're saying is what you're saying has merit, but the difference is you can't force it. You have to react. So like, for example, let's use this like boycott Games Workshop movement. All right. So we're going to go with this. So then talk to your players. If your players are all butthurt about Games Workshop, be like, okay, guys, you don't want to do Games Workshop here anymore. What do you guys want to do? And then that's how you go into the new thing.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a thing.
But as I say, what it comes down to is a game store owner or an employee sitting down, doing demo games, teaching people how to paint, do those sort of things. Because guess what? That's why everyone plays Games Workshop games in 40K. Because you could go to any Warhammer store and they're going to immediately play a game with you and teach you how to paint a model.
I mean, the other thing, like I would also throw another point, another reason why you would carry Games Workshop and why Games Workshop would be the obvious strong choice is that there's a shit ton of Games Workshop stores, and stores that carry Games Workshop still make money on Games Workshop. So that's how strong the presence is there.
Yeah, well, exactly. But I mean, they make money because they put in the effort. I mean, that's what I'm saying is that, like, you know, how many times does, like, you know, you're at a Games Workshop store, you're talking to the manager who you're old friends with, and then, like, in the middle of a conversation, a mom will walk in, ask about Pokemon cards. You'll go, you know, we don't carry Pokemon cards, but this is what we do carry. And then they'll give them a fucking, you know, $25 tour of the store.
I meant a regular game store still carries Games Workshop, even though there is theoretically massive competition from all of the Games Workshop stores that exist. That's how powerful the Games Workshop brand is what I'm saying. So like pushing things that aren't Games Workshop is just a losing gambit. Yeah. Like it's just not going to work.
I will disagree with you because I've seen other places do incredibly well with other stuff.
Incredibly well is a very misleading statement, sir.
But I've also seen stores that carry Warhammer and just crash and burn because they don't do anything.
That's also true. Well, I mean, you can't force anything. That's the other key. Like you can't force anything and nothing is a guaranteed success. So like if you're like, I want to carry Warhammer and you have no one who's interested in Warhammer, like then yes, you need to do the work to like get people interested in Warhammer. So on that end, you're correct. But in all honesty, you should carry Magic Gathering.
Yeah, well, that's what it really comes down to is that's how stores make all their magic and all their money is through Magic.
Yeah, you should carry Magic Gathering.
No, I completely agree with you on that point. What was I gonna say? These Games Workshop does really do, and that's another thing that the guy was saying on his whole thread about his pay at Games Workshop is he made more as a store manager than he ever did working for, you know, writing for rules or anything like that. And you know, that's what it comes down to is because like a lot of those retail laws are really, you know, regulated by the government. You know, like there's like a lot of things that you have to do and you have to pay in order to keep people there with like minimum wage salaries and things like that. With those other office jobs is you don't have to do that quite as much. So I thought that was interesting is that and the managers of the Games Workshop stores of anything else, I have a tremendous amount of respect for what they do because it takes a lot of effort to be that upbeat and positive all the time. Like I don't know if I could ever do that. I work with children all of the day, every day, but I still like I cannot maintain that level of excitement about any one topic or thing throughout the entire day as long as Games Workshop employee keeps about Warhammer. Not only that, but also doing demo games, you know, teaching painting lessons, dealing with goober kids whose parents drop them off at the store.
Are those the corny chain axes?
The corny. Oh, my renegados.
The renegados. I love the renegados.
Chaos of renegados. But
really
yeah.
I wanted to get some more renegados.
Oh, shit. Also, another person who kind of spoke out about the Games Workshop shit was Sophie Williams. It was a little bit different. She worked for, I think it was White Dwarf, but she talked about pregnancy leave and it was just, her story sounded more like the problem with corporate culture and pregnancy leave as is, as opposed to Games Workshop in general. But yeah, it was not, it's not a very positive story, and you guys can look that up if you want. Sophie Williams, James Hewitt and Sophie Williams, both their stuff is on Twitter. I would highly recommend looking at it. I mean, and Jervis Johnson just left Games Workshop too. He just retired. So Jeeves is no more. Jeeves Jervis, Johnson.
The end of an era.
The end of an era. You know, it always goes back to Nigel Stillman for me. You remember Nigel Stillman, Steve?
No, the only like Games Workshop name I really remember off the top of my head always is Paul Sawyer because of Sawyer Kingdoms.
Sawyer Kingdoms.
That apparently got like, he got really butthurt about that.
Oh yeah, Paul. And from everything I heard, he works at Warlord now.
Yeah, that's like apparently. So anyone who doesn't know what I'm referencing, when Ogre Kingdoms came out, the original Ogre Kingdoms release for 6th edition, someone did a pretty excellent Photoshop of Paul Sawyer, who is a portly gentleman who worked for Games Workshop.
Well, they also called him like the they call him Fat something or other. They always made fun of his weight. Fat Bloke. That's what they called him.
Yeah. That was his Games Workshop name was Fat Bloke. But anyway,
it was his gamer handle. Back before you had gamer handles.
Yes. No, yes. So anyway, when the Ogre Kingdom came out, someone did a pretty good Photoshop, especially at the time, because Photoshop was not nearly as good as it is now. But someone did a really good Photoshop of the Ogre Kingdoms book and called it Sawyer Kingdoms. And apparently he took massive offense about it, like really like tried to find who did it because he wanted to sue them. which really cracks me up.
That sounds about accurate. No, he is not necessarily known for having the greatest sense of humor.
I never forgot that. I just always remember that as Sawyer Kingdoms.
Like I've met a lot of those guys throughout the years from coming over from Warlord. A lot of them went to Battlefront and they did Flames of War. And then a lot of the older crowd also went to Warlord games and they did all their historical stuff, because that's what like essentially all of the older brass at Games Workshop did. Even when we were there, it was just like, we're not retiring from the gaming industry, we're just going and working on our little side projects, my historical side projects, because we just don't care about this fantasy sci-fi bullshit anymore. We want to reenact elements of the fucking Greek Revolution, you know, some shit like that. So they create a whole company based around that. I don't even remember how we got onto Paul Sawyer and all of them.
Because you were talking about Jervis Johnson retiring.
Oh, I asked. Jervis Johnson retired. And I always go back to Nigel Stillman. And Nigel Stillman, back in the 200s issues of Games Workshop, the late 100s, early 200s, he used to have a bunch of articles that he would write about gaming, like, it was kind of like, you know, remember how you go always at the front of all the rule books, it always says like the most important rule is to have fun. And no arguing, roll a dice. but he would write something, he'd write like Stillmania is what it is. And he'd like write about his like methods for building armies. He built a beautiful Bretonian army that was featured in White Dwarf, you know, 5th edition Bretonians. And he would write all these articles, but he quit Games Workshop and just became a postman because it was like, it was better pay and like he got a pension and all this other stuff.
The gaming industry, like there's money in the gaming industry, but like if you're it's kind of weird. It's like the opposite of Hollywood. Like in Hollywood, all of the money is, you know, obviously all industries, the money is a pyramid somewhere. Like that's just how it is. But like in Hollywood, in the entertainment industry there, talent is the big chunk of the money. The gaming industry, it's the opposite. Talent is usually the least paid of all the people involved with making a game. So like game designers, you know, they make dick. Like that's they don't make fucking anything. You, like that's why, like if you're a named game designer, that's like it becomes a thing. So like you can sign a contract to get a deal. So like I can't remember his name, but I feel bad because he's a pretty game designer, but the dude who signed that like huge big deal contract with Cool Mini or Not, like that was a big thing because like he became like a really known game designer. So like he was probably making a good amount of money, but like in general,
Kinesia.
Like, No, not Rainer Kinesia. So like in general, but that's pretty rare. So like in most cases, you're going to make, you know, dick, like I said. And that's why a lot of these companies are smaller and like become self-produced. My Kickstarter is so good for anyone who's independent, because like if I made, you know, or like, oh, here's a great example. Kingdom Death. Kingdom Death made a bundle of money, and it basically like it's Poots, the artists he's paying, and that's it. So like dude made a good amount of money from that game. Like,
yeah, he did.
And like, that's good. I'm, you know, he did it all himself, and he built that game's popularity over time before he even did the Kickstarter. So like, you know, that obviously that's not like a, you know, a common situation, but like in terms of like the percentage of money, you know, he probably got a very fair percentage of the money for his work. If that game was made by Cool Mini or not, the game designer who made that game would have made shit in comparison. No fucking doubt in my mind that would be the case. So like, that's the thing you got to remember. Like, if you're interested in, if you like games and you really like, you're thinking about getting into the games industry, you need to either find like a really good company, which I mean, as far as I know, wouldn't be any of the big ones, because the big ones are all owned by fucking venture capitalist groups.
Fucking Wormhole Horde right now is down to like 3 employees. So,
and then, or you gotta do it yourself, and you know, that's.
I really think at this point, it's like the do-it-yourself route is probably the most common.
This is the current state of the industry. The DIY is more viable than ever. So there's that, which is good.
And you can make your own Game of Thrones game, which could be bigger than Pokemon.
It could be bigger than Pokemon. It's great. Yeah, it's kind of funny that you mentioned Privateer Press, because I always forget that they still exist.
Oh, they do. They're still chugging out. They're still putting out all their stuff.
They're really, really chugging out fucking Malifaux ass looking models.
Like, yeah. Malifaux, like, the super popular game Malifaux.
The incredibly popular game Malifaux. I can't believe fucking War Machine still exists.
For those who don't know about the very popular game Malifaux, Steve got an email. I don't think we've ever talked about this on air. I apologize.
I don't think we have.
Steve got an email from someone or other, and they talked about the super popular. You say what did
the
you say?
It was the immensely popular game Malifaux.
Yes, and I think that's what it comes down to, and it's part of the reason why I always find it weird that Privateer. It still exists is because like Games Workshop, they always talk like we're a model company. We're all about making the models. We're not a rule company. We're a model company. They're not. They're an IP company. They make most of their money off the IP.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is it gets back to what we were saying originally about all of this shit with the nonsense is with the Warhammer Plus stuff is because they have to protect their IP because that's how they're making all their money. And yes, they got
licensed fucked. Games for yeah. sure.
They got fucked hard a decade ago because they weren't prepared for what was coming. And it comes down to what I was going to get to earlier. And as I say, once again, I'm drunk, so I'm probably rambling. 3D printing is the other thing. Okay. Yo, you want to play a Warhammer game. All right. Get a 3D printer. It's $200. You can print everything you want. But people are like, no, that's stealing. I'm just going to order my models from China. It's like,
I don't ever want to deal with China Cast, man.
I can't.
That shit sucks.
It really does.
Shit sucks. Like, that's the thing. Like, the builds always look fine. But, man, like.
The work you got to put into it.
Yes. Yeah. And then if you like. Tap the model, that shit shatters.
Yeah, it's because they take what's supposed to be plastic and they cast it in resin, which is not
also not really material. Really low quality resin.
Yeah, exactly, really low quality resin. And it's like, and you're like, oh well, and getting back to the part about like bad business practices with their employees, it's like, oh, so you want to boycott Games Workshop for their treatment of their employees, and you want to buy from a Chinese company or Russian company, and you think that they're going to treat their employees, which is probably their, you know, their 86-year-old babushka wearing grandma, going, you know, like, you cast the models right now. And they're like, no, I'm not casting. My fingers, no, they hurt. And you think that's any better? You think that's better? Yeah, well, fucking idiots. I think that's what it just comes down to. It's like we can't win until we literally eat Kevin Roundtree. That's the only way we're going to win. Some games boycott Games Workshop. Like, Games Workshop gives two shits what you think.
Yeah.
Because really, that's what it comes down to with boycotts. I mean, we saw with Toyota earlier this year. It's like, oh, Toyota is giving money to these people who say that, you know, Joe Biden didn't win the election. Oh, bad on you, Toyota. So Toyota's like, okay, we're not going to give money to them anymore. 6 months later, they give money to these people again. It's just like, once the heat's off, you don't give a shit. You know, that's just what it comes down to. It's, we live in an awful capitalist society, and the only way that's going to make change is when we have violent revolution. Am I not right, Steve?
That's accurate.
Yeah. So as we
know, and that's never going to happen. So we don't need to worry
about it. The people are way too comfortable right now.
Not even that. Like, I mean, basically, if it wasn't 2020, like if the summer of 2020 didn't result in violence, like, you know, that's it.
Well, I mean, I would go so far as the after the election, you know, like let's say, like, you know, the fact that we still are a society at this point is amazing to me. And I think it just goes down to the fact that most people are just relatively happy complaining about stuff and not actually doing anything about it. So, you know, that's where it comes down to, the great apathy. And then you could say, Joe, you're so angry about this. How come you're not out on the streets protesting? It's because I'm old. Like, this has got to come from the young. Like, I'm past my prime at this point. I take a slow hit to the side. I'm down for the count. I can't. I'm not like one of those kids who could just bounce right back up or like form a shield wall against like these riot police. I don't have that in me anymore. If you talk to me like 20 years ago, that's a different story. But, you know, not me now. So that answer, I hope that answers that question.
Yeah.
OK, so that covers most of that debacle. It's been on fire for the last 5 days. Like, this is essentially what I think it boiled over with text to speech. But once again, nothing's going to happen with it. In fact, if text to speech probably is going to end up getting a contract with Games Workshop to produce something dumb.
Yeah, that sounds fine.
And everyone will be happy. And then, and this is also what I was talking about too. It's like Warhammer Plus is going to fail. Like, it's cool in theory.
I think it's cheap enough that it will not fail.
I think it's going, you know why I think it's going to fail? Because Games Workshop is like a fucking squirrel on Ritalin. Like, it just is, or I shouldn't say Ritalin, squirrel on meth, which is essentially the same thing. But they're just, they're like every 6 months, it's something new. It's like, oh, this is new. And Warhammer Plus, in order to be successful, is you have to keep on putting out content. Like,
it'll be fine. I'm gonna my hot take, it'll be fine. Worst case, they'll reduce the price. It's not going anywhere.
They would probably reduce the price, because that's what they did the 40K app, and then they were like, fuck it. Because that 40K app was terrible. I had Battle Builder on my phone for free, and Battle Builder is amazing in comparison to
I only ever used the website, so
the Battle Builder website.
No. I used the, like, actually Games Workshop had a great list builder on their website. Like, their browser based free web list builder is the best one.
Oh, I don't doubt it. I like Battle Builder because it gives you all of the rules essentially in the notes. So it's like, oh, this character has, you know, Blood Rage. What does Blood Rage do? Well, you know, it prints it out at the end of the list. So you're like, Blood Rage, you know, it makes you pee blood. And you're like, oh, awesome, cool. So I get to pee blood for this turn.
Finally.
Yeah. And so that's, you know, that's where that is currently. But I predict that Warhammer Plus will fail. It's going to be about 2 years. I think it's just because Games Workshop can't put out enough content to make it worthwhile.
I doubt it. I don't think it's gonna fail. I think it'll make plenty of money. I think they're bigger than ever. They're gonna make plenty of money. All this will be lost in the wind.
It could very well be. I on the other hand think that it will be a not a huge fit. It's just gonna fizzle. It fizzles like most Games Workshop side projects.
I don't think so. I think it'll be fine.
I mean, it could very well be. I just always, I look to like everything the Games Workshop has ever done.
I'd say we should check in on this conversation again in 3 years, but neither of us are going to remember.
No, of course not. I do think that, I was going to say, it's like, you know, look at their track record, everything that they produce that is not 40K / Age of Sigmar / fantasy. They just don't care. It goes away after like a certain amount of time. Things change. Like new management comes in, new people from Hasbro come in to tell you what's up. So it's all gonna depend on what's coming in, what's hot, what's not. And they can lose some money because they just gave everyone a £5,000 bonus. This year for the performance, you know, all the employees got a £5,000 bonus, which is, I guess, is kind of nice when you think about it.
Yeah.
So that guy makes $30,000. Now he's making $35,000, which is way more.
That's true.
So anyway, let's talk about what's really important with Games Workshop, shall we? They're releasing two ugly fucking dragons.
I like dragons, the Dragonheart dragons.
The dragons are stupid. They have stupid faces and stupid sculpts.
The fact that you hate them makes me like them even more.
It makes you like them. And I understand that. I get it. Don't get me wrong. I get it. But it's fucking stupid.
I'm tired. I want to go to bed.
I think anybody who says anything different should be ashamed of themselves.
I mean, I didn't have strong feelings about them, but as I said, when you were lambasting them in text to me, like I was liking them more and more as you were hating them.
Well, I mean, who designs a dragon nowadays in the year 2021 with all of the fucking IP that Games Workshop has for Age of Sigmar? All these cool fucking dragons. You got like the Maw Crusher. You got the fucking Black Dragon for the Dark Elves. You know, you got all of the Lizardmen and shit like that. And you design two dragons that look like they're straight from Disney.
They look like Dragonheart dragons. I'm telling you, that was a Dragonheart fan.
Yeah, they look like Pixar dragons. Like some, they look terrible. And I think whoever buys them should be ashamed of themselves.
I'm buying both.
Buying both. Well, there's only one box set. You're gonna get multiple parts.
Yes.
Yeah. So what you could do, Steve, is you buy the one dragon, the legit dragon, and then you buy a Chinese knockoff dragon and you use the bits from the legit dragon to outfit the Chinese dragon so at least looks halfway
better.
That
sounds like so much work.
It does, doesn't it? No, you're not going to do it. I'm not going to do it either. No one should buy those dragons. They're stupid.
Oh, I'm going to buy the just regular dragons. I'm just not going to buy the Chinese knockoff part.
All right. Do we have any other gaming stuff that we have to talk about? Because I feel like I've exhausted myself at this moment.
I don't.
You don't. I'm making it through my way through the Horus Heresy books again. And I was like, you know what? I'm finally ready to talk about like my grand plan for if I wrote the Horus Heresy books, how would I actually make it so that they're good? And then I realized that it's like, no, Joe, you should keep that inside and use that to write a book series and make a lot of money by doing it your way and not running it like the shitty ass Horus Heresy novels. And they're not really that shitty. They're just edited very, very, very poorly. They make no fucking sense. But anyway, if anyone wants to hear that, they should let me know. And I'll be more than happy to tell them either through text or through this podcast. So anyway, go to our Game Classy Facebook page. It's the best way you can get in contact with us. You could like, comment, subscribe on the iTunes, like, comment, subscribe on the YouTubes. You could get in contact with me. I'm on Instagram at Game Classy Joe. Steve is on Instagram at 420 Blaze It. I don't know what else. Steve's not anywhere.
I'm nowhere. I'm on Facebook. If you really want to talk to me, you can just reach out to me on Facebook.
Yeah. All right. So, Steve.
Yes.
Until next time.
Yes, very much.
I don't know what that means.
Sayonara.
All right, later.
Bye. Game Classy.